Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
You know, I was in that division for 3 years, you know, on different teams playing against them. And there were times that they never... They were on every single pitch, and you're like, how are they doing this? How is this happening? And when we found out how, we were like, well, okay, we got to start changing signs up a lot, and we did. And you know, the swings actually got worse whenever we started to change the signs up all the time.
Middays on The Score.
Former Cubs catcher Jonathan Lucroy on the Astros. The top of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Does your youth hockey team want to play in front of thousands? Make it happen with the Chicago Wolves Youth Hockey Program presented by Kia. Visit ChicagoWolves.com/youth hockey to learn more. Ben Reiter of Sports Illustrated is on Twitter at Ben Reiter, and he's going to be part of a brand new podcast to be named later on Cadence 13. There's a limited run season one about the Astros, because this is a guy that literally wrote the book on the Astros. He's with us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Ben, how are you?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Good. In retrospect, how does it feel to be the guy who wrote Astro Ball, the new way to win it all, when with every day that goes by, we learn more about the ways they were winning it all?
I was more surprised by this revelation, I think, than anybody. As someone who's devoted so much time to understanding what made this organization tick, stretching all the way back to our Sports Illustrated cover in 2014 through my book Astro Ball, which came out in 2018, really, like, I dove into the innovations that this organization made. And, you know, on some level, I think that those are still worthy of giving credit to, right? Like, they were at the forefront, the vanguard of so much in baseball in a positive way, as far as properly identifying talent, as far as developing talent, as far as valuing it, devoting themselves to a process that's extended several years. Those things are all still true and relevant. Clearly, though, their pursuit of an edge in all things had a dark side to it and led them down a path that has brought them to where we are now.
In retrospect, Ben, is looking back, are there things where you go, oh, I see what this was, or this is how they might have hit the ball on me a little bit here, or perhaps, you know, maybe behind this door was lurking some sort of meeting between Code Breaker and Dark Arts?
Not specifically. Look, I was embedded with the front office for a period of time. I was not in every meeting. I was certainly not in the dugout or clubhouse during games. That's not at all to make an excuse for myself. But as I go back through and think, is there something that I might have pulled on and unraveled this? No, I really don't think there was. In any story like this, no matter how much access an organization grants, there's going to be a black box. And there's going to be a lot of stuff in that black box. I assumed a lot of these things were proprietary data and trading techniques that were above board. Clearly, they weren't. But really, listening to that quote you just played from Jonathan Lucroy, like, it's incredible how secret this thing remained. I mean, Lucroy is talking about his experience in the AL West. He was with the Rangers back in 16 and 17. I just can't believe that all of this stayed hidden, with so many people knowing about it suspecting it within the game until just this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, in a lot of ways, it's almost easier to hide it from you when you're there, because if you're over here, they know to put the stuff over there, right? It's like a it's like the scene in Always Sunny where Charlie's moving everything around the bar. I wonder, though, in being there, could you feel the pull, the influence that Carlos Beltran had, or the possibility of it existing, one player kind of leading an organization at a march like that?
You know, I want to say, if anything, in my opinion, from my experience, has been overstated, it is the suggestion that Carlos Beltran was in some way kind of a generally malevolent influence in the clubhouse. Like, specifically in this way, clearly he spearheaded the sign stealing scheme in a way that was not positive. But, you know, it's simply not true that the younger guys were afraid of him, were under his thumb, that he was exerting some sort of evil influence over the clubhouse. That's really the one part of the story that has not felt right at all to me, and one I'm not buying. Certainly something I'm going to be exploring over the next several months as I report out this podcast.
The Brandon Taubman, Stephanie Apstein incident, and the shameful handling on the Astros' part with every step of that now is seen in a bit of a different context. And Rob Manfred's report addressed the front office culture and the toxicity of their culture. Did you feel that in there with them? Because some of this is only allowed to happen because of just a general way you go about your business. We learned it from Jim Crane after the fact. We're a good team. We won the World Series, and that's that. And I think some of this was obscured with Manfred's misstep in calling the trophy a piece of metal and all this. There still appears to be enough of a cultural issue with some of the people involved remaining employed. Alex Cintron's still the hitting coach. What happens to improve the Astros' culture now?
Right. Well, their publicity efforts have obviously been pretty bad, even before that incident with Brandon Taubman, even going back to their signing of Roberto Osuna. You remember kind of explaining how we're going to have zero tolerance for domestic violence as long as it doesn't happen in our organization. What happened previously doesn't seem to count. That was clearly botched. Look, I think that there's a finer line, we think, between ruthlessness and just prizing winning over everything else. If anything, I think Jim Crane tended towards ruthlessness as a businessman. That might be how you turn a single U-Haul into a billion-dollar logistics company. I don't know much about that. But really, I think that, you know, prioritizing edge, prioritizing victories, prioritizing being ruthless over everything else, you know, it's a fine culture in baseball. It's probably what most teams do until you take a couple steps too far and then everything collapses.
Talking with Ben Ryder here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. He's the author of Astro Ball, The New Way to Win It All. He is also the co-creator of a podcast coming up here about the Astros' sign-stealing efforts. What's the thing you like to, or you set out to get accomplished with the podcast series, Ben? The number one thing that's on the bullet list?
I think there's been excellent reporting across the board on this scandal. I think that there's a lot more to be told as far as the story about exactly how this scandal came to be. I guess I should say exactly how the activities that led to the scandal came to be, about the environment of the organization, about that, what that says about innovative organizations of all types in our culture. Certainly, I also think there's a lot more work to be done to understand the broader culture of Major League Baseball and how sign stealing fit into this back in 2017, 2018. There's a lot more complexity to it than I think we're seeing now. This is not in any way to excuse what the Astros did. It was wrong, but I think that there's a lot more we can find out about what was considered a cultural norm in baseball back in 2017, and also what other teams were doing.
That's the argument that they're using actually in court, as I don't know how long this Mike Bolsinger lawsuit is actually going to last, how quickly it gets thrown out. But in the first responses, it appears that Astros lawyers are essentially saying, well, everybody does it. It's part of baseball. And if you look at our home road splits, we didn't really benefit that much from it. How closely and what kind of sample size of data do you think we're going to need to find out what the benefit actually was?
I think the data is tough because a lot of the data suggests that this actually wasn't that beneficial to them. But you don't really know what the inputs are because you don't have a firm grasp of exactly when they were stealing signs. Yeah, we can count trash can bangs and things like that, but we don't have a full picture of kind of the inputs as related to the outputs, if that makes sense. Like maybe they were doing some stuff on the road. However, I think they're right to point out, look, this is something that many teams are doing. Maybe most teams were doing. Is it possible that the Astros, being the Astros, were better at it or worse at it, as you might view it, weaponized it to a degree that no other team did? Were they speeding 100 in a 60 as opposed to 80 in a 60? Yeah, that's certainly possible, but that's the sort of context that I'm really devoted to trying to find out. Again, not in any way to excuse or exonerate what the Astros did, merely to tell the right story and provide a full understanding of what was going on and what it means.
I want to square the circle a little bit in regards to Carlos Beltran and his role and how his role was depicted, because in your book, mm-hmm. you talk a lot about adopters, about the mm-hmm. the idea of finding what's next, embracing what's next. There's a leap of faith aspect to it, to always evolving. And that's sort of a, you know, a romantic American thing. How, I see the Beltran thing as almost a genetic mutation that caused a cancer. That it was by the same principles that they were adopters, that in large part the buying into having somebody catalyze things like Beltran did, it fits with what they were trying to do, just in a really kind of dark way. Does that make sense? That it's within the framework of Astro Ball. They were just adopting something bad and wrong.
That's kind of how I'm thinking about it as well, as far as, you know, prioritizing the edge over everything else, whatever that means. And yeah, I mean, a lot of people are trying to figure out, was this coming from the front office? Was this player directed, as Rob Manfred stated in his report? I think the truth is that it was all of the above, right? Like the front office set the culture. Carlos Beltran was doing something that, frankly, players and he had been doing his whole career, right? Like, he was excellent at stealing signs by traditional methods.
Right, but not with a camera and machine learning and artificial intelligence. No. Yeah,
right. That's what I'm saying. So, like, you can imagine, and this is speculating on my part to a degree, you can imagine a situation in which this guy's been doing this for a long time. All of a sudden, he gets to this organization that provides him tools with which to do this to a level and with a skill that he had never before imagined. I don't necessarily think he's a villain for over time kind of embracing these. Maybe he didn't realize just how over the ledge he had gone. Maybe he did, but didn't think it was so bad. I don't know. Like, these are the questions that I'm asking right now. And I think that, you know, the somewhat simple answers we have at this point can go far deeper.
So here's something I've been thinking about over the weekend, Ben. Cheaters are always outpacing the guys trying to catch the cheaters, right? It's kind of an arms race system.
Yeah.
So at some point, you know, like from the Jonathan Lucroy cut that we played introducing you to the show, you know, they realize that the Astros are stealing signs. They're really good at it. Whether they know there's a camera or not, they change the signs. They switch things up. Well, the Astros will respond to that, right? It's a game of adjustments. At some point, I worry that the guy holding the camera in center field goes, okay, they changed the signs on us. Well, what if I can see the pitcher's grip in the mitt? What if I can tell you, you know, as the splitter's getting held or as the two-seamer's getting framed up or as a curveball's getting worked over in a glove, what's coming there? I don't need the signs for that. He's got to throw it the way he's holding the baseball.
No, I agree with you. There's always a next step you can take. And that's one reason why the commissioner's response is so important as far as not only penalizing what the Astros did, but stopping them or anybody else from doing it forward. But this is the kind of Pandora's box that the league opened when it introduced replay rooms and all this new video into the game back in 2014. Now, the Astros certainly were at the vanguard of exploiting it, or maybe not certainly, most likely it appears were at the vanguard of exploiting it. But yeah, I mean, this is the kind of the logical progression and the one the Astros took. So I honestly, like, as far as solving this, I kind of like the idea of just eliminating technology whatsoever on the field during games. Like, if you see a play, if a manager sees a play that is so obviously miscalled, that he wants to challenge it with his naked eye, fine, go ahead. If you want to use video after the game's over to review your swings, to help you training, fine, go ahead. But I think if you get that stuff off the field, then a lot of these problems go away.
Mentioned that Alex Cintron is still the hitting coach despite his reported involvement with a sign-stealing scheme. And Tom Kofaser and Derek Vigoa are still in the front office, and they were involved in the initial formulation of these programs that were called Code Breaker and Dark Arts and all that. Are you surprised they're still employed, and should they be?
Slightly surprised. Look, I think that it's right for Rob Manfred to have targeted, as far as his penalties, the top of the organization, the power holders, right? Like, I see the argument that the players should have been punished. All of the people you just mentioned, Vigoa and Coach Weiser, should be punished. But, I mean, I think once you start doing that, you open up the possibility that your punishments are going to spread much, much wider than you ever imagined. I genuinely think that the justice that he's levied at this point has been strong enough, assuming that the commissioner does do what he says and investigates all of the other leads he has on this, starting with the Red Sox penalty that we understand will be coming down this week as fully as he can.
If this is widespread, right? I mean, you've seen all kinds of reports and all kinds of players and all kinds of players' nieces who are running fake Twitter handles talk about many teams doing this kind of stuff. Are we watching good baseball if this is what we're watching? Are we watching a product that is, I don't know, maybe it's cheap or whatever, that is a true product?
I think so. Look, I mean, again, not to sound like, you know, the old crotchety guy, but baseball players have been stealing signs for over a century, right? Like, we know that. This is not like a new part of the game. It is new in the way that it was weaponized, right? And I don't think, judging by the players' outrage in large measure, I think that the real-time transmission element mm-hmm. is what really makes people angry and what really makes people inside the game seem as if or believe that the Astros have crossed a line. But no, I mean, you know, on a certain level, it's all gamesmanship. And if the Astros are the outliers, I understand that. But I don't think it's right to say that the product we've seen on the field was fraudulent or anything if this was a widespread practice.
But is it good? Like, is that the product that you, like you, Ben Ryder, want to watch? Is that the baseball that you want to watch happen if we know it's widespread?
Oh, man, you're getting philosophical on me now.
Yeah, because I've been thinking about it a lot lately, and I'm not interested in watching a guy know what's coming, then swing at the pitch he knows is coming. I find that much less interesting than the other brand of baseball.
Well, look, I think you can't go back and change history. I think that's what Rob Manfred was kind of suggesting in a clumsy way when he referred to the commissioner's trophy as just a piece of metal, right? Like, players didn't like that. That was definitely another PR blunder. But he was suggesting that what has happened. You know, like, the journey was what mattered. Those games are what mattered. The experience is what mattered. The trophy is just a symbol of them. You can't go back and change history. All you can do is understand why that happened, penalize those involved to the best of your ability, and kind of move on in such a way, hoping that it won't happen again. So I think that's what we really have to focus on now.
Ben Ryder, thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
That is Ben Ryder of Sports Illustrated and an upcoming Astros Scandal podcast that will launch this summer on Cadence 13. You can listen to that via radio.com and radio.com sports.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.